Thanksgiving, and we got many, many thanks and praises to give our God and all the blessings that we have. We're glad everybody's here today. Glad to join us. We have a guest speaker, Bridget Kruger Douglas. We're glad that she's here. Thank you for being here for us. And we just hope it's an enjoyable service and people out there can get a lot of good out of it today. So announcement-wise, shoot boxes were due today. If you still got one or two at home or whatever, you can bring it up here.
25. But I'm like, man, we wanted to make memories. Now, those are some awesome memories. God really answered that prayer quick, and he showed up. And so that's what I was going to talk to you about. In our opening, it says, magnify the Lord. So you know what a magnifying glass is, right? You look at it, it makes it bigger. So we want to magnify the Lord. We want to make sure we're looking at him so close that he just keeps bigger and bigger. Kind of like we want those deer to get bigger and bigger, right? Yeah. So, but your dad's going to tell you about a hunt, right? That's how you learn about it. You're going to hear about it. But is he going to take you and put you in a tree all by yourself? No. That would not be safe, right? He would take you with first and model it. He would show you how to do it, right? Well, that's what's so cool. When we magnify Jesus and we look at what he did in the Bible, he models for us some certain behaviors. And so today we're going to look at some of those. And I know you can pay attention because you guys are really awesome. So I think you're going to get it there. But one thing that I want to tell you about in our church, in churches in general, we say the altar is open. You can come pray. And people kind of just set their pews sometimes. And they don't model for us what that means because I can talk to you anywhere. But you know, it's going to be Thanksgiving. And I don't know at your house if you have a kid's table and then an adult table or if you have like a really long farmhouse table. We, for deer camp, were in a barn with a bunch of tables all pushed together. And it gets loud. And you can't hear everybody because there's all these people talking at the same time. Does that ever happen at your house? Yeah, it does. So how do you listen? You have to kind of lean in, like, who you're talking to. Sometimes, like, you have to get up and move to the other end of the table to hear that person. So that's what coming to the altar is like. It's like, God, I'm here. I want to hear from you. And then you getting up and coming to the altar is like, I am making myself available. I am trying to pay attention to you even a little bit more because I don't want to just be here, but I want to be up close and personal to hear what God has to say to me or to lay my burden down to God. So it's not like it's magic. That's not it. It's the effort that we put forth to kind of lean in and get a better understanding, just like we do around the table when we want to really understand someone's story. And like I think you're going to do with your dad this afternoon because you're going to want to hear all about this story. I can't believe we don't have pictures. If Dad's watching Facebook Live, he needs to send pictures of whoever you're with, right? Then we can all see it after church. All right. Well, let's pray. Lord, help us as a church to model for these young men what it's like to be open to the Spirit speaking to us. Thank you for the stories of Jesus. Help us to remember to magnify him in our lives because as we magnify him and we look for him closer, we will see more and more. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this morning, Lord God, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Thanks for coming up here, friends. You just made my morning. And congratulations to your dad. That's so exciting. So, today's title, and it's funny because I don't always title sermons. I'm not really good at that. But it's called Stories Around the Table. And as you can imagine, Thanksgiving's coming. Some of you already had Thanksmas or whatever you called it. My daughter actually said them, their friends and them were going to get together for that because they couldn't get together for everything. So, but we gather around this table and we tell stories. We might tell stories of a deer hunt. We might tell stories to embarrass our brother and sister of something they did 20 years ago and they're never going to live it down. We might tell stories of generations past that we want to remember those that have passed away. We want to remember how important they are to us. I know Nathan's grandparents have a huge impact on our entire family to this day. And they were in their 90s when they passed away. There's a lot of stories we can tell. Sometimes we tell stories, even old generations, so our kids kind of understand our family history. And those stories give them something to say in college when they say, give us a fun fact no one would ever guess. But, you know, our stories around the table are important to keep things alive. So our stories, when we tell them about God around our table and what God's doing in our life, is important for this generation and for generations to come. And so our call to worship this morning, and I'm going to lay my Bible here. I did type them out just so it's easier to find. But our call to worship says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. You know, the psalmist wrote that praise shall continually be in our mouth, and so that the humble will hear. And I think it's interesting because so many times we want to share Jesus with those that don't know him yet. And that's part of what we're called to do. Go and make disciples. But as we read the scripture, it reminds us over and over again that the humble hear and be glad. It reinforces to us what God is doing. as you sit and as you think about the things you're thankful for, also remember to praise God for what he's doing in your life. Because Satan is sure to want to distract us from what God's doing. Satan likes to tell us that we have messed up too much. We have moved too far away. But you know what? The scripture, Psalm 34:3 said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When we magnify something, we're making it a bigger focus. And what? When we do this, when we focus on God and what he's doing in our life, we're going to naturally begin to exalt him together. And I think verses 4 through 6, they just happen naturally. It said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. If we're magnifying him, that means we're seeking him. That's a natural thing that's going to come. And he delivered me from my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. You see, when we sit together praising God, seeing and hearing of God's move in the lives around us, we can let go of our fears and we lean into our faith. And then jumping all the way to the end for the epistle lesson in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. You know, I don't know about you, but I've read Revelation several times. And some of that stuff is just mind-boggling to me still. There's so many things that reflect back, and you have to understand the imagery. But this Revelation 12, 10, and 11 has just been playing over and over in my mind lately. And it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. they needed him, he did not immediately run to their side. He didn't immediately go to where they were at. In fact, Jesus said in John 11:4, quote, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. I want to pause right there and think for a minute. I know you know the story, so you know Lazarus eventually dies. And you know, that's one thing about living this side of the cross, is we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would put it. And so, I just aged myself. You guys know Paul Harvey. Okay. So, now that you know the rest of the story, it's hard to pause and read. But we got to train ourselves sometimes to not jump far ahead. And it said in verse 4, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so the Son of God might be glorified through it. That terrible thing that they're going through, that painful illness, that overwhelming sadness, is happening so that God can be glorified. When we walk through illness, when we walk through sadness, when life gets us down and we go through struggles, I think it's encouraging to understand even then God can use it for his glory. Jesus walks through it with us, that gives us the story to tell that may just not be happenstance, but maybe what someone else needs to hear so that God can get the glory. So again, tell those stories. But going on with this story, the disciples are concerned if Jesus returns that the Jews will find him and kill him. And the disciples, of course, weren't ready for that to happen. But Jesus does eventually return to Bethany. And that's the village of Mary and Martha. And even with the disciples, they were protesting. And upon his return, he's greeted first by Martha, while Mary stays at home with the mourners, who were Jews. So at any rate, we're going to fast forward. And Jesus has wept. Now, boys, here's your memory verse of the day, because you can get this one. The shortest one in the Bible, Jesus wept. And there's a lot of people who say that's their favorite, because maybe it's not because it's easy, though. Think about how much that statement means. Jesus wept. Jesus, who was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus, who knew the rest of the story, Jesus wept. Jesus wanted to spend that time there. He wanted to give them an opportunity to feel it, feel those emotions. I think, you know, this is something I learned early in marriage, and I'm still learning, and sometimes I'll be like, listen, Nathan, I don't want you to fix it. I'm just kind of venting right now. But men are fixers, right? So if you tell them something, they want to fix it. It's kind of more natural for them. And I think Jesus even modeled here, it's okay to feel it before you fix it. Now, he was still going to fix it, but he let them feel it. He validated those emotions. And you know, as a mom, we had two girls. So we raised teenage girls, and there's times teenage girls come home with stories, and you're like, that's not that big of a deal. We can fix that real quick. But it's good to let them feel it before you fix it. And I just thought that jumped out at me this time reading through that. But Lazarus, here he is. Jesus has wept. They're at the tomb. Jesus wants to be that involved in your life just as much as he was in this story. He wants to weep when you weep. He celebrates when you celebrate. And Jesus taught us that it's useful in friendship, in marriage, and in life to feel it before we fix it. But then Jesus goes to the tomb with all these people watching his actions. He has the stone rolled away, even though Martha's saying he's been in there for 4 days and it's going to stink. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So the stone was rolled away, and Jesus prayed. And here's what he said. He said, I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. Caught that? So even Jesus used his words to point to the Father. Jesus, who was 100% God and 100% human, shows us an example of how important our words pointing to the power of God can be. So again, tell your stories wherever you are and whenever you can. So Lazarus comes out as Jesus beckons him, and this crowd is amazed. Of course, the plot to kill Jesus really thickens at this moment. The Pharisees were feeling their position of power completely challenged. They needed Jesus dead to keep their power. But the story of the power of Jesus was spreading rapidly, and the time was now of an essence. And that leads us to our gospel reading from today. John 12:9, 10, and 11 says this. that moment in my life, I was like, I don't know about that. But then a good friend pointed out that the Bible says go and make disciples, and there's not really an age limit on that. So here I am. And but I began to think, I don't know what I have to share sometimes. I did not have this big awakening. I was raised in the church. I was born on August 12th, and I was christened in my church on September 11th. That was way before 9/11 became a memorial thing. But that's the way it was. And it was one church my whole life. I got married in that church. I was confirmed. I was married. It was all that. And I didn't feel like I had this testimony, like what I might would have heard at a revival. Then I began to walk with Jesus more, and I began to see him more. And I sat in Bible studies, and like one day a friend was telling a story that she had a pre-diagnosed heart condition, but one particular night she started having some issues, and her husband rushed her to an ER in Marion, and they diagnosed her as having a heart attack and took her by ambulance to St. Louis where her cardiologist was, because that's her specialist already. She was already established there. And so she got there, and of course, what did he do? He ran his own test, and he said, you didn't have a heart attack. Nothing's changed since your last visit. To which at first, all of us honestly thought, well, they just must have gotten it wrong in the small hospital. But really, in the time that she was diagnosed in Marion and drove to St. Louis, her husband had contacted Unity Christian School, which is where we taught together, and we were all praying. Her church was all praying, and her family was all praying. And it was a few weeks, and she came back to us in prayer meeting, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, you guys, I'm really afraid I took God for granted. I think I missed the fact he was healing my heart in that ambulance. I blamed a mistake instead of give God the praise. Because you know what? ER doctors, they know. I'm sorry, but they know what a heart attack looks like. They see them all the time, whether it's a big hospital or a small hospital. Sadly, it's something that we hear about a lot, and so they see it a lot. But when she shared that made us in the prayer group look back in our life. Have we missed God? Have we taken him for granted? And, I'm sure there's times that we have. I mean, even as recently as April of 2021, when our granddaughter was born, she was born and she failed two hearing tests. And, of course, same thing happens. We're all praying. last story I'm going to tell you was just a couple months ago. Nathan and I got to lunch, and we were out shopping, and he was going in Harbor Freight, which I always say is like Target, but for men. And so he's just going in there, and I'm like, I'm going to stay in the truck. So I'm sitting in the truck, and down at the Flax store, which is just down the way from Harbor Freight, there is a man, and he started just verbally abusing this poor lady with him. I mean, words that you should never hear them, okay? I should never have heard them. And I was like, whoa, okay, God, should I go say something? Like, I don't know what to say, but should I go do something? And then this man in the truck next to me got out, and he looked over that way, and he was a lot bigger than me. And I was like, yeah, send him. Then he got his car and drove away, and I was like, all right, I got it. So off I go. I texted Nathan, actually, and said, can you come right outside? And he did, because he knows if he gives a text like that, something's going on. Because I do talk to random people. But I walked up to these people, and I'm like, can I help you? And the lady said, oh, he's just like this. And the man looked at me, and I'm not kidding. He said, the devil got a hold of me. I was like, well, this is how it's going. Okay. I said, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, I used to know Jesus, but he does nothing for me, and the devil got a hold of me. Well, I got a little offended because God had just sent me there because I had said, God, you want me to go? And God said, go. So I was like, listen, don't tell me God's not done anything for you because he just sent me here to talk to you. And then the guy kind of looked at me, and we ended up having a 45-minute conversation with this man who did know a lot of Bible stories. I was able to help him see how those were applying to his life. We just had a good conversation for quite a while, found out some things in his story. I mean, he was a man with a story. He is waiting some trials for felony charges. But, you know, I mean, Jesus died on the cross for all reasons. So I don't really care what you did. We're going to talk about it. And we talked, and we prayed, and I felt God really say to me, you tell him and her, the lady who was real sweet and mild, and meek, of course, he said, you tell them to look for me in their story. And I thought, hey, I don't really know what you want me to say that for, but okay. So I said, I'm going to challenge you all. And I'm sure they're thinking, who are you to challenge me? You just walked over here because I was yelling. But I said, I'm going to challenge you, and I want you to start seeing God in your story. And the lady said, well, I kind of started going to church. I'm like, that's a good place to start. But just start seeing God in your life. And so later that day, Nathan and I stopped by, visited my parents, changed our clothes, pulled my hair up. We went and played pickleball, so I've sweat off all my makeup in completely different clothes. My hair was fixed different. And we go to the grocery store. And I walk in, got a few things I needed, and as I'm walking out, or as I'm checking out, I looked, and who is right behind me but that lady? I was like, okay. So I just slid some money to the cashier and said, please put this on her bill. And I went on out. I didn't say anything because I thought she'd probably refuse it. A lot of people won't openly accept things. So I just slid it, thought, okay. So I went for the groceries in the car, and when I put my card up, I came around the corner, and she was coming out of the store, and she looked at me with tears in her eyes. Thank you so much. And all Nathan and I could say was, God, I know that was you. Let them see you again today while that challenge was fresh on their mind. And I pray that that story relives through their mind and that God gets the glory. So as I close today, I want you to think for a minute about your God stories. Where have you seen God lately? Where have you experienced him recently? What has he done in your life today or 12 years ago or 30 years ago? Where has he protected you when you tried to do it on your own power? If you're like me, when have you seen his healing power? You know, the list can go on. I want you to begin to think, what stories are you going to tell this Thursday around your table or this afternoon or next week, maybe even next year? Do you see God in your story? Or do you need to ask someone to sit, have a cup of coffee, and help you see him at work in your life? The very first question is, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you need to say, Lord, I've heard about you. I believe in you, but today I'm dedicating my life to you because I want to have a story, and I want that story to start right now. Here's the really cool thing about accepting Jesus. It's because the Bible teaches us that God is in our life from day one. He pursues us. We call it prevenient grace. Okay, so he's pursuing us. So when you come and you accept Jesus, and you don't have to come to the altar, it's not magic, but it's a great place to lean into God. But when you come, and you say, I accept you. It's amazing that you start to see where he was at way before you even knew who he was, way before you realized he even cared. And that's something you can sit with a pastor or a mentor to help you explore. But with all of that said, I'm going to close in some final encouragement. And like I said, a lot of times what we do in church, we're modeling it for the younger generation. And so the altar is open. You came this morning to honor and worship the Lord. He promised to meet us here where two or more are gathered in his name. So if you want to come to the altar, if you want to dedicate your life, if you want to reconnect with Christ, if you want to ask him, where are you in my story? Reveal it to me. The Holy Spirit will do that. The altar is open to lay down a burden or whatever it may be. So even as I speak, I want you to feel free to come. I'm not real formal. I'm not like gonna, I call it altar diving. I'm not going to come talk to you unless you come to me. I just want you to know that the altar is yours to spend time with God. And so you can come. You can tell me you want to chat later if you want to, but that's not what this is about. This is about you having an opportunity to come to God. But for final encouragement, Psalm 71 says this: "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the graves of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually yours. I've been like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long." Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged. Just as the psalmist was reflecting, that God is in your story. And as you reflect on your life, the Holy Spirit will reveal to where God has worked in your life so that your mouth can be filled with praise and God gets the glory. You know, for some of us, sitting around a dinner table still isn't happening in our families. COVID hit everybody so different, and everybody has different feelings on it, and I think that's okay. But if you're not sitting with your family for whatever reason, tell it to friends. Tell your stories to strangers at the grocery store. Call someone for coffee. Tell it to them. Listen to where God's at in their life, and it brings to mind what God has done before, what he continue to do again. Your God stories are the proof the world needs, just like they wanted to kill Lazarus too, because his story was the proof that had others believing. Your story is the proof that will help someone else believe in God the Father. So your God stories are the proof the world needs, and that we do have an active and living God that loves and cares for his children. The Holy Scripture is full of God stories, and our time spent reading and pondering and being silent before the Lord will make us see God more clearly. It magnifies him, as the psalmist said. Your life story matters for this generation and for years to come. What can you do to help this world be a better place? That seems to be a common question these days. We look around our lives.